Today, we continue with Lesson 4 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Gittin, and we begin Perek Sheni, the second Perek, the first and second Mishnayos. The last several Mishnayos dealt with the various similarities and differences between a Get Isha and a Shtar Shichrur, between a divorce document and a document whereby which a slave, an Eved Kanani, is freed. Now, the Mishnah returns to the subject of Befonai Nichtav uBefonai Nechtam, that if an agent brings a get from a distant land to the woman who is living here, her husband issued the divorce in some distant land, then when the shliach, the agent, comes to deliver and delivers the get to the woman in front of Beis Din, he must say that the divorce document was signed and written and signed in his presence. Otherwise, the get is posul, the get is invalid. This Mishnah continues and says, "Hamevi get mi medinas hayom vi omar befonai nichtov." Suppose the shliach brought the get from a faraway country and said, "It was written in front of me, avolo befonai nechtam," but he does not say, he cannot say, or did not say that it was signed by witnesses in my presence. Or befonai nechtam avolo befonai nichtav, he says, "I saw witnesses sign it. I was not present when it was written." Or befonai nichtav kulo, the entire document was written in my presence, uvefonai nechtam chetzio, but only part of it, or half of it, was signed in my presence, meaning I only saw the signature, the signing of the signature of one of the witnesses. Or befonai nichtav chetzio, uvefonai nechtam kulo. Suppose he says that the only part of the get was written in my presence, but it was signed entirely in my presence, meaning both witnesses signed it in my presence. In all of these cases, he has not said fully, befonai nichtav kulo, uvefonai nechtam kulo. Therefore, the Mishnah says, posul, such a get is invalid. Now the reason is, well, remember, we explained back in the first perek that for Rabbah, the reason why the agent, shliach, says, befonai nichtav ubefonai nechtam, is to establish for us on his own, and only on his own testimony, that the get was written lishmo. It was written intentionally for the purposes of divorcing this woman from this man. According to Rava, this shliach only serves as a substitute for witnesses who can validate the signatures of the edim, of the witnesses on the document, because since the witnesses who signed it are living in this distant land, we have nobody here who knows their signatures, and so we rely upon this shliach, and that is what his statement, befonai nichtav, befonai nechtam, accomplishes. Because of these two positions, we can understand why all of these four cases, when befonai nichtav, befonai nechtam was not said completely, renders the get posul. For example, if a person does not say befonai nechtam, well, for Rabbah, it's possible because we have no one testifying to the fact that the witnesses signed this document intentionally, knowing what it was, and knowing that this document was going to serve to divorce this woman from this man. According to Rava, it is possible because if this fellow, this shliach, doesn't say befonai nechtam, we have no witnesses here who can recognize the signature of the original witnesses on the document who live so very far away. Suppose, in our second case, The person said, the shliach said, "Bifonai nichtav." But I'm sorry, the person did not say "Bifonai nichtav." He only said "Bifonai nechtam." According to Rava, again, it's possible because the get must be written lishma. According to Rava, since he's only saying "Bifonai nechtam," and is not also saying "Bifonai nechtav," people will make the mistake of thinking that any old fellow can come along and one witness and validate any shtar and simply say, "I was there, I saw it signed, and it's a kosher get, kosher shtar, kosher contract in other areas of contract law." And this special tarkona that the Chachamim issued to believe this one single person and not require two witnesses to believe the shliach is because he also says "Bifonai nichtav," distinguishing the get isha from all other shtaros which do not require to be written lishma. So that's why, these reasons are why a person who said only "Bifonai nichtav," or the shliach who only said "Bifonai nichtav," it is not kosher. Now, suppose he says "Bifonai nichtav chetzio," well, that's just as good as, just as bad as a person who says "Bifonai nechtam," and who did not say "Bifonai nechtam" at all, because we require two witnesses, and he's only saying "Bifonai nechtam chetzio," only one witness is signed. And if he says "Bifonai nechtav chetzio," well, here the Gemara says that, remember, I explained to you that the get has two parts to it. Imagine a document with blank spaces where the blank spaces have to be filled in. So the document itself is called a tofes. That just has the language of the text. It does not have the names of the parties involved. In this case, the name of the husband or wife. It doesn't have the date, etc. So if he says, "Bifonai nechtav chetzio," half of it was written in front of me. And he's talking about the bottom half of the shtar, which is only the text of the get, the toface. He has said nothing, because he has not testified that the names of the parties and the date, etc., were written lishma. So that's just as good, just as bad, as if he said nothing, as if he did not say "Bifonai nechtav." Because "Bifonai nechtav chetzio," when it's not said with reference to the chetzi, to the half, which is the names of the parties, the date, etc., is meaningless. However, the Gemara explains, if the witness says, the shliach comes along and says, "Bifonai nechtam kulo," and "Bifonai nechtav chetzio," which chetzio, the rishon, the upper half of the get, where the names of the parties, the dates, the place, etc., occur, the Torah faget, that's as good as if he said nichtav kulo bifonai, and then the get would be kosher. The Mishnah continues, Mishnah Aleph continues, Echad Omer, suppose you have two shlichim, two agents delivering the get from the husband in the south of France to the wife here in Eretz Yisrael. One witness, one agent says, "Bifonai nichtav," and the other messenger says, "Bifonai nechtam posel." That's insufficient. And the get is invalid. The Gemara explains that this is a situation where the two of them are not jointly carrying the get as messengers, envoys, delegates of the husband. But rather, one person is holding the document and the other person is standing next to him. Only one of them is a shliach, a bona fide shliach, and the other person is just Joe from the street. So then, if the shliach only says "Bifonai nechtav," the other fellow says "Bifonai nechtam," or if the shliach holding the get says "Bifonai nechtam" and the other fellow says "Bifonai nichtav," the get is puzzled, because the person who is not physically a shliach on this get, his testimony is just a testimony of an eid echad, of a single witness. The Chachamim did not give him any extra validity. Only the shliach who's carrying the get has that extra validity. However, suppose the get is being carried by both of them. The words of the Gemara, Haget Yotzei Mitachas Yidei Shneya. They're both shlichim. They're both carrying the get. Then, if one says before I nechtav, the other says before I nechtam, they would be kosher. According to Rava, they're kosher because here you have these two fellows, both shlichim, and they're both familiar with the signature of the witnesses. You don't even need some to say before I nechtav, before I nechtam. You have two witnesses. And that's, you can't do better than that. You have two witnesses testifying that the get is a kosher get. Suppose shnayim omnim b'fonenu nichtav v'yechad omer b'fonai nechtam. Suppose two of them say, the two shlichim say, b'fonenu nichtam. Nichtav was written in front of us. But only one can say b'fonai nechtam, posel. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Tanakama says it's posel. Here too, it's a situation where the shliach is only one of them. Only one of them is holding on to the get. It's not yotzei mitachas yidei shneihem. So only one person is saying before I nechtam. No good. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, even though only one of these two gentlemen is a bona fide shliach, since they both testify that the kesivas haget was written properly. So that's enough. We can rely upon the one who says before my nechtam, because we're not going to confuse this with other shtoros, with other contracts, not divorce contracts, because the fact that we require these two people to say before my nechtav indicates that this is an entirely different procedure from other contracts where we do not require any statement about the ksivas haget. If I borrow money from you or sell you something, I don't have to have the ksiva, the writing of the document, done lishma or done in any special way. It could be typewritten, it could be faxed, it could be written in pencil, whatever it is. It's the witnesses who are the key, not the actual text of the document, unlike a get isha, with the text of the document, or at least a major part of it, is very, very important to be written exactly properly. The Mishnah concludes, Echad omer b'fonai nechtav, shnayim omer b'fonainu nechtam, kosher. If two people come along and say, we saw this document coming from the south of France, we saw it being signed, and only one of them says, before my nichtav, it's kosher. Rava, of course it's kosher. You have two witnesses who say, that's all you need. Rava's whole reason is because ein edim mitzuyim lekaimo, there are no witnesses here in Eretz Yisrael who know the signatures of the people back in the south of France. Here you have two people in Eretz Yisrael right in front of you who say they do know these signatures. According to Rabbah, this last phrase in the Mishnah would only be true if the get is being held in the hands of the person who says, Befona Nechtav. Because then he is saying, Befona Nechtav, and he is one of the two who are saying, Befona Nechtav. Can't be better than that. You have someone saying, Befona Nechtav, Befona Nechtav, and an additional person saying, Befona Nechtav. Fine. According to everyone, such a get is kosher. Now, we have already studied that a get, isha, must have the date that it is written on it. Our Mishnah will now discuss a situation where a get was written in the daytime, Monday afternoon, the first day of Adar, and signed at night, which is already the second day of Adar. Right? The night begins the new day. In such a situation, this is a get muktam. Now, let me give you the definition in simple terms of a muktam, a document which is muktam, which is predated. The get does not take effect under any circumstances until it is signed. So if it is written on Monday day, the first day of Adar, and signed Monday night, the second day of Adar, the effectiveness of this get begins on the second day of Adar. And yet the get is predated, it reads the first day of Adar. And the same thing is true with any shtar. If I sell you something today, and the date on the document says that I sold it to you yesterday or last month or last year, that is a shtar mukdam, and a shtar mukdam is posel. A predated shtar is invalid. And it's invalid because it opens up the ability of all sorts of hanky-panky. If I sell you something today, but the document says that I sold it to you last year, you can now go to my creditors, to people from whom I borrowed money, subsequent to the date which is written in the shtar, and you can say, you cannot collect money from this Weinreb fellow from the date of last week, because I have a shtar which says he sold me this property last year. So the shtar mukdam opens up all sorts of possibilities of hanky-panky, of improper practices. And the same thing is true of a get isha. A woman is divorced on this date and has a document which says that she was divorced earlier, yesterday or last year, etc. This too, as we will see, opens up all sorts of negative circumstances which we do not want to permit. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Nichtav bayom v'nechtam bayom. If a get is written Monday morning and signed Monday afternoon, first day of Adar in both cases, or balayla v'nechtam balayla, it's written Monday night, the second day of Adar, and at 10 p.m. And then it is signed at 2 a.m. Nichtav balayla v'nechtam balayla, or balayla v'nechtam bayom, it is written Monday night, the second day of Adar, and signed Tuesday noon, the second day of Adar, Tuesday noon, the second day of Adar, kosher. Because in all these cases, it was written and signed on the same date. However, bayom, if the get was written Monday day, the first day of Adar, v'nechtam balaylon, it was signed Monday night, which is the second day of Adar, posel. The get is invalid, posel. However, Rabbi Shimon machshir. Rabbi Shimon says that it's kosher. Why? Isn't it a shtar mukdam? Don't we say that any document which is predated is invalid? No. Shehoyer Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol ha-gitin, here gitin means documents in general. All documents, shenichtevu bayom v'nechtemu balaylom, they're written day one and signed day two, meaning they are predated. They go into effect, really, when they are signed on day two. But the date on the shtar says day one, yesterday, or a week ago, or a year ago. Pesulin, they're all invalid. Chutz migitei noshim, except in the case of divorce documents. Now, why should this be? The Gemara explains that the Chachomim required that the date be placed, be written in to the divorce document. Why? Suppose it was undated, totally undated. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that, the Gemara explains, is a concept known as Shemo Yichape Al Bas Achoso. A person might be married to a woman to whom he has a special attraction, a special concern about. He's especially fond of her and cares about her well-being, not only because she's his wife, but because she's also his niece. He's married his sister's daughter. Fine. Perfectly permissible. But suppose this wife commits adultery. She commits adultery on the 15th day of Shvat. On Tu B'Shvat, she has an affair. Right. And witnesses see that she's committing adultery and she's going to court and she's going to be killed as an adulteress. This husband can say, oh my goodness, I'm obviously not pleased that she committed adultery while she was married to me, But after all, she is my niece, and I don't want to see her killed. So what I'll do is I'll write a get today, the first day of Adar. But I'll date it the 10th day of Shvat. So when witnesses come and say she committed adultery on the 15th day of Shvat, she can say, look at my divorce. It's signed. The witnesses, will agree that they signed it. And it's dated the 10th day of Shvat. Or suppose it's undated. And she pulls out a get and says, what are you talking about? You're accusing me of adultery? I have a divorce document. It doesn't say when. Well, I'll tell you when. Long before I had an affair with this fellow, I had this divorce. And we can't say that she didn't, because a get is undated. So therefore, the Chachamim made a takono that a get should have the proper zman. So that a husband cannot protect his adulterous wife from the act of adultery, from the consequences of the act of adultery that she performed while she was married to him. For this reason, a get mukdam, a predated divorce document, is possible. This is the reasoning of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon, however, says no. A predated divorce document is kosher. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Shimon's reason is as follows. He doesn't buy his whole business of Shema Yechapel Basachoso. He doesn't believe that the reason why, ideally, we must have a date on a shtar, on a get, on a divorce document, is because to avoid this kind of collusion between a husband and his adulterous wife, who happens to be his niece, or someone he's especially fond of, doesn't want to see his wife stoned. But rather, the reason for Rabbi Shimon why a divorce document requires a date is Mishum Peros, because of the fruits, the profits. What does that mean? If there's no get, no zman, no date on the get, the husband, who, while he's married to his wife, has the rights to the profits of her nichsei malug. If she brought a farm into the marriage, he has the right to the peros, the corn, the wheat, the grapes, which grew on that farm. And he can sell it, keep the profits. That is his right as a husband. However, once he divorces her, he of course is no longer entitled to the peros of the nichsei malug, to the fruits or profits of the property that she brought into the marriage. Now, of course, if there's no date on the get, and he divorced her back in Shvat, and but there's no date on the get, so he'll go on and sell the fruit of the farm until next Shvat, until the whole rest of the year, Adar, Nisan, etc. Because you can say, look, this woman was not divorced in Shvat. There's no date on this divorce. She was just divorced yesterday. I sold you the fruits last week, last month, 2 months ago. Whereas, in fact, she was divorced 6 months ago. Therefore, Rab Shimon says, if a get is written today and signed the next night, it's written on Monday, the 1st of Adar, and signed the second night, granted it's a get mukdam. However, he believes, Rabbi Shimon, that once a husband makes a decision, I'm going to divorce this woman, that even though he hasn't technically divorced her, he has given up his rights to the fruits of the property which she brought into the marriage. So a man decides to divorce his wife till he finds a scribe to write the get. Until he finds witnesses to sign the get, it could take a month. But already from the time he made this decision and said, I'm going to divorce you, from that time he's forfeited his rights to his peros. So even if the get is mukdam, no problem. No problem. Because he's already lost the get, the peros of nichsei malug from the time that he puts on the get. Doesn't make a difference, as long as there's a date. Rabbi Shimon, of course, agrees. For other shtaros, a shtar mukdam is posel. It's only by a get where a shtar mukdam, a get mukdam is kosher, where we say nichtav bayom v'nechtam balayla is kosher. Because there's no chashash, there's no problem for Rab Shimon in a get mukdam. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. We rule halachically that a get, of course, must have a date, and the date and the signature of the witnesses must be on the same day. Otherwise, if it's predated, we rule that it is posul. So we have completed lesson number 4.